Well, we come to this passage here in 1 Peter chapter 5, and I was reminded about one of the relationships that the law most carefully protects. It is the law, it is the relationship of a fiduciary relationship. What is a fiduciary? A fiduciary is held to the highest standard of care that the law possibly recognizes. The fiduciary is the one who is entrusted with something that is not his. Now, I don't know how many trust fund babies we have out here, but if there were such a one, this person, you would understand what this fiduciary relationship would be. It would be the relationship of a trustee, someone, perhaps a father or a grandfather, who puts money into an account for a child who is not yet old enough to make his own decisions. And that person then, the father or the grandfather, puts in charge of that money a trustee to watch out for the account, to take care of it, to make wise decisions concerning it. But it's very clear that money is not the trustee's. It is the child's. And one day that money will go to that child. Now, why is the fiduciary relationship so trusted, so protected by the law? It is because it is so available to abuse. To be abused by the trustee who takes out some of the money for themselves, who doesn't make good decisions with it, who is not careful with what is someone else's. And so the law guards that fiduciary relationship and holds that trustee to a very high standard. Now, why did I think about that relationship as we came to the book of 1 Peter here? Peter, the apostle, the one who had been with Jesus Christ through his years of ministry. Peter, the one who had seen Jesus transfigured, seen his glory. Peter, the one who had said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter, the one who Jesus had eventually looked at and said, "Peter, get behind me, Satan." Peter, the one who had fled from Christ, deserted him when in the hour of his greatest need. And now Peter, who was the one who was one of the leaders of the church after Jesus Christ left. Peter, the one who had stood up at Pentecost and preached a sermon that 3,000 people were added to the church as a result of, or at least in part. Peter stands up and writes this letter to certain Christians that were scattered abroad. And he says to them, "Now, before I finish with this letter to you, I've got something to say to a certain few of you. The elders which are among you, I exhort." Now, what does he mean by elders? The word elder here simply means older. It simply means a person who is in a position of, in that day, respect and leadership by the virtue of his age. And so he's referring to a position, and it's the position that today we would also call elder, but that we might also call pastor. Pastor. Now, it is to these people that Peter is talking to here. He is speaking to pastors and teachers and elders, leaders in the body of Christ. And he says, I want to tell you something. You have a job to do. You have a job description, you elders, you pastors, you teachers. And it's not just any job responsibility, because it comes with a very significant duty. He says to them, "I don't want you to be lords over God's heritage." And that word there, heritage, means in essence an inheritance or a lot or an allotment. He says, "But I want you to be examples to the flock." Today we're going to look at a remarkable principle from Scripture as it relates to elders and pastors and pastor teachers in the body of Christ. The responsibility that has been placed on them is to be allotted a portion of the flock of God to feed them, to lead them, and in doing so, to heed the chief shepherd. The message that we're going to talk about today as we look at this subject as elders and pastors in the body of Christ, I'm going to title, Entrusted with God's Flock. Entrusted with God's Flock. And may God give us grace to see these principles for elders and to see how they apply to those of us who are not elders, but who are under the leadership of elders in whatever individual flock God has placed us. Let's talk first of all about the responsibility of the elder, the responsibility that God has given to elders and pastors in the body of Christ. It can be summarized very briefly because Peter does it right here. He says in verse 1, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Now in verse 2, will you read this next phrase with me, those of you who have verse 2 open of 1 Peter chapter 5? I just want us to read the first 5 verses out loud. Let's read it out loud right now. Feed the flock of God. Let's read it again. Feed the flock of God. Feed. Do you know what the job is, very simply put, of a pastor and an elder in the body of Christ? To feed. Now, this word here in Greek is a very interesting one. It is a word that really, at its essence, means shepherd. Shepherd. Tend the flock of God. And because the role of a shepherd, really one of the primary roles, is to feed the flock, we can say simply here that it's accurate when it says feed the flock of God, but more broadly it means shepherd, tend, guide, care for. Now this says something to us about who we are in the body of Christ. We are depicted here in the body of Christ as sheep. Now if you know nothing about sheep, let's just have a little bit of a background because it's helpful for us to understand this metaphor. Sheep, everyone in that day would have known exactly what he was saying here when he says there's a flock of God. Remember, Jesus used the same example when he said, "I am the good shepherd. I give my life for my sheep." The sheep is a common metaphor throughout the Bible, not only for the broader world generally, but for us. Feed the flock of God. Now, friends, there are a few characteristics we need to know about sheep. Sheep aren't very bright. Sheep aren't very strong. Sheep can't take care of themselves. Sheep are easily led astray. Sheep, in other words, need a shepherd. That's their need. Their need is to have that oversight. And so at the very root of this, when Peter looks out at the elders and said, "I want you to feed the flock of God," what you should take from that this morning is if you are not an elder, you should say, "Oh, I need a shepherd. I need a leader. If I'm like a sheep, if I can be led astray, I need someone who's watching out for me. I need someone who's been entrusted to take care of me." Now, sometimes that's a little bit humbling for some of us. We say, "No, I don't need a leader. I don't need, don't I have the Holy Spirit?" Yes, you do. You say, "Isn't it true about the priesthood of believers that the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us?" Yes, that's true. You do have the priesthood of believers. Every one of us have been made kings and priests before God. And yet, friends, that doesn't change the fact that in God's plan, it is that there are certain men, certain elders and pastors who are set up to meet a need in the body of Christ. That's why Ephesians chapter 4 says that he gave some to be pastors and teachers. It is God's gift to you that you have a pastor, that you have an elder, if indeed you have one. Now, friends, we should look very carefully at ourselves and say, "Do I recognize my need for spiritual leadership?" It's something that cuts against the grain of today's culture and yet is a biblical principle. Let's understand three things about this responsibility. First of all, the responsibility of whose flock. You might ask, feed whose flock? I understand that the elder is supposed to feed a flock, but whose flock? Look what Peter says. Feed the flock of God. Now that tells us something interesting. It tells us that it's the job of the pastor and the elder to feed those who have already entered the door of Jesus Christ into the sheepfold. It is not our job, first and foremost, to feed the world. It is to feed God's people. Now, that is a helpful reminder for me, because God says that one day I'm going to stand accountable to God for how I fed the sheep here at Straight Gate Church. And it's a good thing that I don't have responsibility one day to stand before God and say, okay, how'd you feed every single person here in Minneapolis? No, my first responsibility is to feed His flock, His people. Jesus Christ said, I am the door. If you want to come in and be a part of God's sheep, if you want to come and be a part of His flock, you got to come in through the door of Jesus Christ. That's the prerequisite to, first of all, understanding who the elder's responsibility is. But secondly, let's understand whom. We are to feed whose flock, God's flock, but then we are to say, feed whom. Now look at what Peter says here. Feed the flock of God which is among you. In other words, feed the flock that's right here. That's right here. Now, do you know also what that is? An encouragement to me. Can you imagine? I'm about to hop on a plane to go to Virginia again soon. Can you imagine if I went out into Virginia and I was at breakfast tomorrow morning and I stopped and talked to someone and we struck up a conversation and I started giving the gospel to this person or they started giving the gospel with me and I said, so you know Jesus Christ? You're a Christian? And they'll say, yeah, I trusted the Lord for salvation these years ago. It's been so great. Can you imagine if I looked at them and say, well, guess what? I'm your pastor. You say, that'd be a little bit strange. Hey, buddy, let me tell you, I've got some authority to exert over you. They'd look at me like I was crazy. Who are you? You say, well, I'm a pastor, so I must be your pastor. No. No, God has given responsibility to elders to feed the flock that's among them, that is around them, that is are in these pews right here. Some of you has been entrusted to me as, and to the other elders that are here as part of the flock. Do you know God's plan for the New Testament? That is that even though there is a universal spiritual body of Christ, we have all been saved and we are all part of the broader body of Christ. God's plan is for that body to meet in local churches, in each city, in each place, for people to come together in a local body of Christ, a local group of people who have been called out, that are part of God's flock, but that meet together in places. Now, friends, that's a very important lesson for each of us. Are we part of a local body? Are we part of a local church? It's not enough simply to say, well, I'm a Christian. Isn't that good enough? Oh, no. It is to meet, to be part of a flock, be part of a local group that is among us. And Scripture again and again makes this clear. Third, what is the what of this responsibility? We are to feed the flock which is among us. Feed. What does it mean to feed? Well, we can think of what Paul said to Timothy. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3 and going into 1 Timothy 4, he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Profitable for doctrine. Profitable for instruction, for reproof, for correction in righteousness, for correction, for all these things. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then Paul goes on in 1 Timothy 4 to say, do you know what that means? Preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Friends, do you know what the first and foremost responsibility of the elder and teacher is in the body of Christ? It's to feed with the Word of God. It's to lead the flock of God into a green pasture where they can eat and they can feed on what? On the Word of God right here. That means when I stand up here in this pulpit to speak the Word of God, my heart is that you will be being fed right now. You will be eating right now. You will be listening to the Word of God right now, and your soul will be nourished by it. Friends, you're not going to receive not much nourishment if your mind is way out in left field. If you are distracted and if you are taken apart by the thoughts of the world, the purpose, the responsibility of the elder is to feed. Now, what is he to feed on? What is he to provide as food? The Word of God? Not my opinions, not my thoughts, not the way that simply everything makes sense to me. No, it is to be the Word of God. That is the authority. That is the foundation. That is the basis. And woe unto us as elders and as pastors when we stand up and simply give our thoughts, our opinions. No, our authority is when we stand on the basis of the Word of God and say, "Thus saith the Lord." That is the responsibility of the elder. Now, friends, there are five elders here in this church. There are five elders, and do you know what the central responsibility for every one of them is? One of the requirements that 1 Timothy 3 lays out for an elder is that they be apt to teach. Do you know there's no elder that is qualified to be an elder unless he's skilled at teaching the Word of God? Unless he is ready and gifted and able to teach? You can be the best overseer, you can be the kindest person, you can be the most charitable person, but unless you're skilled at teaching, you're not qualified to be an elder. Now you say, well, how come the primary person preaching at the church is maybe one person? Well, God has given different gifts to different members, to different elders in the church, and so it is that in our church here, the church, we have decided that the primary pastor teacher in a public sense is me standing up to preach, and yet all the other elders must be skilled and apt to teach. It's a qualification, a requirement for that position. So you see here, the responsibility of the elder is to feed, is to be the one who brings spiritual nourishment to the flock of God that is here among us in this local body of believers. Secondly, let's understand here the role of the elder, the role of the pastor and teacher in the body of Christ. Peter says here, feed the flock of God which is among you. Now look at this next phrase with me in verse 2. Taking the oversight thereof. Do you know what that word essentially means? It essentially means to get the big picture, to get the big scope, to stand up and kind of oversee and look down and see the whole picture. Now, friends, in our culture today, we don't like leadership too much. We don't like the concept of submission too much. We don't like the concept of saying, I need to do something that someone else says. We love to be self-sufficient and self-autonomous, and we love to do our own thing. But do you know that God has said that the role of the elder in the local church is to lead, is to take oversight? Do you know what Hebrews 13 says? Hebrews 13 says that certain people will have the rule over you in the body of Christ. Now that is a really interesting thought, isn't it? To be a leader, that there are certain people that are put forward to oversee. First of all, let's understand the administration of this role is to be, in essence, a ruler. Now we need to talk about what that means, to be a leader. There are certain people that God has put forward to take on this role. Do you know that's why 1 Timothy 3 says that one of the qualifications for an elder is that he rules his own house well? Why? Because Scripture says that otherwise, how can he take care of the church of God? If a man's house is in absolute disrepair, if he doesn't have any control over his children, if he has no control over his finances or no control over the ruling of his house, Paul says, how on earth can he rule, lead, oversee the church of God? That's one of the qualifications for being a pastor and elder, that he can lead his own house. But doesn't that tell us something, that if that's the qualification for an elder is in his own house, it tells us what his role is in the local church? To lead, to oversee, to administer. It's part of what God says is the role of the elder. Now, secondly, we need to understand here the attitudes of the elder. Now, one of the reasons this is such a difficult truth for some people to accept is because they've seen so much abuse of the role of the pastor and the elder. They've seen the pastor get up and say, do things my way, and they see it's not in accordance with the Word of God. It's only on the basis of opinion. Or we see today so many stories coming out of those who were purporting to be elders leading the people, and instead they were preying on the vulnerable. They were instead robbing people of their money. They were preying on people sexually or abusing people that they were called to be oversight. And people in the culture today look at that and say, all right, let's just ditch the whole concept. Let's get rid of the concept of leaders and overseers in the body of Christ. Now, notice what Peter says here are very two important attitudes that we need to keep track of so we don't go to one extreme or the other. First of all, he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Now look, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, that's money, but of a ready mind. In other words, he says here, there are two problems we can get into in either way. The first is that you have no motive. You have no motive whatsoever, and so you have to be compelled to do it. You have to say, oh, the pastor, I'm so sick of this. I'm so sick of watching over these people. But I have to, so I will. Peter says, don't let that be your attitude. Don't you be the one who has a goad to your back and you have to be prodding to do it. He says, no, you be willing to do it. You have a heart of a shepherd to love and to care and to tend for your sheep. No motivation is a problem. But do you know what the other problem is? The wrong kind of motivation. That's why he says, don't do it for money. You don't do be a pastor and an elder to get rich or to feed yourselves and to make yourself wealthy off the backs of your people. No. He goes on to say, all of you submit yourselves to one another. He says, don't do it because you want to be important. Don't do it because your pride wants to get stroked by how many people you have in your church, by being important and being somebody. By being looked up to an old pastor, don't do it for the wrong motive. No, instead, Peter says, you are to do it eagerly, with a ready mind, ready to serve, ready to lead, because of the heart of love that God has given you for the body, for the flock that he has prepared. So the attitudes there are something that holds us back from either of the extremes. Either the domineering leader who says, you know what, I'm going to do this because I have to, so all of you better do everything that I say. And then between the person who simply is doing it for all the wrong reasons, all the wrong motives. Peter warns against both of these. But then third here, understand the action of this role. What is this person and how is this person supposed to lead? I love what Peter says here. He says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Do you know how the Christian pastor is to lead? By example? Yes, he is to feed. Yes, he is to preach, to reprove, rebuke, exhort. But where the pastor makes a difference and the elders make a difference is by their example, by their life. That's why the book of Hebrews tells us that we are to follow the faith of our leaders, follow the faith of our elders, because we should see them as an example for what it is to be like in the body of Christ and say that is an example that we can follow. Now, do you know what the opposite of what Peter says here is? To be lords over God's heritage. To lord it over people. To say, I am your pastor, therefore I am your elder. To be lifted up in pride, to be harsh and to be unkind and to be uncharitable. You see, Scripture has no place for abusive leaders in the body of Christ. Scripture makes no room for the pastor who will stand up and act as if he is a lord over the heritage of God. No, no. The example is to be one of humility and to be one of service. Do you know Jesus Christ was the perfect example of this for his sheep? Jesus Christ was the one who would stoop down to perform the most menial tasks. He would be the one to wash the feet of his disciples. You say, well, how can that person be respected if he's only serving? And yet Jesus was absolutely so careful to watch out for any problems in his flock. He says, hey, Peter, Satan desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. He would be the one to come alongside and correct them when they were squabbling over who would be greatest in the kingdom of God. He says, no, don't you understand? Don't you understand that that is those who are least that will be the greatest among you? If anyone wants to be in authority over here, let him be the servant of all. You see, friends, how does an under-shepherd, how does an elder, how does a pastor lead in the body of Christ? Simply by following the example of Jesus Christ. To be absolutely authoritative in preaching the Word of God and in speaking and feeding the flock of God, and yet by their example, being one of the most humility and the most servant-hearted attitude, that is the picture that is drawn in the Word of God for the elder and the pastor of the flock. Oh, friends, may you see in the elders here at Straight Gate Church an example to follow. Not only in word, yes, it is important, so important to teach the Word of God clearly and plainly from this pulpit every week and in one-on-one sessions and discipleship sessions and counseling sessions and teaching in all its forms how important it is, but how important also that you see in us an attitude of humility, an attitude of service that is ready to chip in and never to be lords over the heritage of God. I love what Paul said to Timothy. Paul's words to Timothy have been an encouragement to me as a young pastor, not only in experience, but also in age. Paul said to Timothy, he said, let no man despise thy youth. See, Timothy was a young man too. And he said, Timothy, don't allow people to think less of your age because you're not very old. You're not very much of an elder in that sense. He said, but be an example. Be an example for them. Do you know how they won't despise your age when they see your servant heart, when they see your humble attitude, willing to take on the most menial of tasks for the body of Christ? And friends, that is the picture of an elder that is portrayed here for us in the book of 1 Peter. So we've seen, first of all here, the responsibility of the elder, feed, shepherd the flock of God. The role is to be a leader, to be an overseer, yes, to be an administrator over the body of Christ. And third, let's see here the reasons for this role, the reasons for this work to feed the flock of God which is among you. And we're going to identify three reasons that Scripture portrays for us. First of all, let's understand the appointment. The appointment in the body of Christ. Oh, friends, this is so critical. We've already said here today that the responsibility of the elder is to feed the flock which is among you, those that God has called. But Acts 20, verse 28 tells us something even more profound. In that passage, Paul is speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus, and he says, feed the flock, feed the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Friends, do you know what one of the most sobering facts of being an elder is? That we are to take very seriously that the Holy Spirit has made elders to be overseers. It is His appointment. It is His hiring. He is the one who tapped certain men and said, you're the one to be in charge. You're the one to be leading by your example. You're the one to be shepherding and tending the flock of God. Now, can men make mistakes in who they choose as elders? Well, sure, that's why Paul gives such careful requirements for who an elder should be. And yes, we need to be following the Holy Ghost in who He desires to select and continue on as elders in the local church. But do you know what? That doesn't change the fact that it's the Holy Spirit who taps them on the shoulder. It's the Holy Spirit who calls them. It's the Holy Spirit who leads and appoints them. Now, friends, that's sobering thought for us. And it's a sobering thought for me. Do you know how this appointment is made? What, as we mentioned, what Peter said is, don't be lords over God's heritage. And really, the meaning of that seems to be, don't be lords over those whom God has allotted to you. Friends, do you know if you're a Christian here today, God has an allotment for you in a body of Christ somewhere? He has an allotment for a pastor and elders to be overseeing you and keeping watch over your souls? Where's your allotment this morning? Do you have an allotment? Is there a place where God has placed you and He said, okay, these men are keeping watch over your souls. These are your leaders in the Lord. These are your elders. Or are we simply drifting through life, happy to drift into this church and that church and the other church to try to get feeding wherever we can? Friends, that's not the New Testament way. That's not the way that is presumed here. When Peter absolutely implies here that every single person will be a part of an allotment somewhere, that the elders that are here at Straight Gate, God has allotted them a group. He has allotted them a body to oversee. And another godly church down the road, God has allotted those elders. He's placed them as an inheritance for them. He has entrusted these men and women and children to their care. He says, this is your group. A man, it is said, came to Dwight L. Moody, the great evangelist, and said, Mr. Moody, he said, I just feel like the church that God has given me is just too small. And Mr. Moody says, very wisely, he said, well, that may be the exact size that you would be pleased to represent at the judgment seat of Christ one day. That may be all that you're supposed to have. Because do you know what this appointment comes? It comes, secondly, with an authority. With an authority. If God has entrusted certain people to the care and the shepherding and the tending of certain of elders in the body of Christ, that means one day those men will be held to account. What Hebrews 13 tells us is that one day every single elder will stand accountable before God. They will give account to the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd will say to them, I have allotted out a certain group of people to you. Now, how did you take care of that responsibility? How did you feed them? How did you tend them? How did you lead them? How was your example of humility to them? How did you pray for them? How did you instruct and warn and guide them? Because their souls were on the line. I have given them to you to watch over their souls. Friends, that's a sobering reality for me. That when I get up in this pulpit to preach, when any of the elders that are in this body comes to counsel you or to warn you or to help give you instruction in some way, that we are doing it at the danger of our account before God one day, who will hold us accountable for how we've done. It's a very sobering reality that the authority that we have in the church is the chief shepherd. Friends, this is not my church or any of the other elders' churches. It's not my church. It's not my body. It's not my flock. It's His flock. And He has given it. He has entrusted it to a certain group of men here. And He has said, watch out for it. Care for it. Always under my authority. Always under my rule. Always going to me for direction. Always seeking to lead in my footsteps, in my paths. And then, I will hold you accountable for how you've done. Friends, it's sobering. It's a sobering thought, and it should be for every elder that is here in this body of Christ. Third, let's understand here the award. You say, this is a very sobering message. This is a very sobering thought for the elders and pastors that are among us, that God's going to call them to the carpet one day. But Peter says, here in the last verse we read, in 1 Peter 5 and verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Friend, there's a reward for faithful elders, a reward for faithful pastor teachers, is that one day there's a crown of glory for those men that will not fade away. The picture here is as the Olympic Games would have a wreath of garlands that would go on the head of the winner, but one day those plants would fade away, they would die, they would wither away. And Peter says, this one right here, this crown that's for you, is never going to fade away. Friend, can I tell you something? Being an elder and a pastor of a church is an extraordinary responsibility with a very challenging role, but do you know the reward is so worth it? That's why Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 3, if a man desires the office of an elder, the office of a bishop, the office of a pastor, he desires a good thing. Why? Because it's worth it. It's worth it. If the elder follows through with the job that's been entrusted to him. And let me say something to you. Some of you young men here today, some of you young men in this teen boys class over here, some of you young men who's grown up in this church, do you know it's a good thing if God puts it on your heart, a desire to be an elder one day, a desire to be a pastor, a teacher of the Word of God, to take on that responsibility and say, yes, I will take on the responsibility that you've entrusted to me. I will take on that responsibility. I will do it knowing that you will call me to account one day, because the reward is great, because the reward is worth it. Oh, may God stir in some young men's heart here today. Stir in their heart a desire. Give them a gift and a calling and a talent to lead, to oversee the body of Christ, perhaps here in this church, or perhaps somewhere else. Friends, entrusted with God's flock, we have a few elders, some that are sitting here in today. Brother Delaney, right here. Brother Delaney, would you come up here? James, Magnuson James, would you come on up here? Luke Van Sistine, would you come on up here? These men who we trust the Holy Spirit has appointed as overseers over this body. The four of us, there is no Lord here. I have the same vote with the other of these men and Brother Wagner, who's not here this morning. We have the same role in the body of Christ, the same responsibility to teach, to lead, to oversee. Do you know that puts on a responsibility to you as well? Do you know that as God leads us to be the under-shepherds here in this place, that puts a great responsibility on the body of Christ as well? Lord willing, we'll talk about that responsibility next week. But for now, let's understand the role of the elder, the role of the one who God has given to lead, to feed, and to heed. And may God give us the grace to discharge that responsibility faithfully, to lead the body of Christ that is here at this church. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the clear teaching of the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you would be with each elder here, that we would be those that would follow your example, and by that give an example to follow for those that you have entrusted to us. Father, I pray for each one here. Lord, I pray for those that aren't a member of your flock. They've never been saved. They've never come to Jesus Christ. May today be the day that they enter by the door of Jesus Christ, and be saved. Father, I pray for those here today that do not have someone that is watching out for their soul at this point. They don't have a local church that is keeping watch over them. Father, may they come into compliance. May they come into that wonderful truth, Lord, to obey them that have the rule over them and submit themselves as you would have it. Now we pause for just a moment at the end of this morning's service. We leave a moment at the end of every service. If someone here would say, I've not been born again, I'm not a member of God's flock, I don't know what that means, there's an opportunity, friend, for you to come and kneel at these steps, for one of even these elders, perhaps, to teach you what the Word of God says about how you can be saved. Is there anyone that would come this morning and say, I need to be saved, I need to be born again, I need to enter the flock of God? Some of you here this morning might say, I don't know which flock I'm a part of. I don't know which flock God has allotted me to. I don't know who is my elder, who is my pastor, who God has entrusted me to their care. I'd be happy to speak with you about that after the morning service. We can see what responsibilities God places on the members of that flock. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Father, may that be so of each elder you've entrusted here, and may each of the flock understand their responsibilities you would have them to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand for the closing grace. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.